Hey, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Today was fun. You guys know that I do this intro after the show's already been filmed and done. So I am full of my original passion and single malts. I am such a fan of peated whiskey, and today was no exception. So today we sit down with Andrew Rayburn and Averyn Edwards from Terlato and Distel. They do Deanston, Boonehaven, Edradour, and we do only limited expressions today. So all the new stuff that came out around Christmas time, all the wine finishes, all the special editions, all at like crazy proof ranges of 55%, 58%. This is like where I got my start, was like peated single malts and non-peated single malts. And then I moved over to bourbon. But this episode was awesome. So just to hit all the key points, because I know you guys don't like super long intros, I'll tell you today's episode is still sponsored by our love of McAllen and Highland Park, as well as E.P. Carrillo Cigars and Stogies here in Houston. So if you are a fan of cigars and peated or non-peated single malts, McAllen, Highland Park, E.P. Carrillo Cigars, and of course you can get all of those sticks at Stogies here in Houston. So I think we pretty much covered all the highlights. Houston Whiskey Social is on sale now. I want to push it as hard as possible before the rodeo comes to town. So definitely, if you've never been to the state's largest whiskey event, I highly encourage you to go to my event, because I am clearly biased and full of myself. But I love the event. I'm passionate about what we do, and the Houston Whiskey Social is it's my baby. I'm very proud of it. So HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. You can get those tickets on Eventbrite, Facebook. Definitely check out all of our show sponsors. And today, this is a non-sponsored show in regards to these guys. They're not sponsoring the show. They didn't give me a dime. Deanston, Boonehaven, and Lechaig are classic malts. They've been around a long time. Boonehaven has been the core part of so many different blends, and they've really branched out to their own stuff, and I'm a fan. So definitely enjoy this episode with Andrew Rayburn. He's been in the U.S. for the past 6 months from Scotland, and Averyn Edwards. This guy, just a little peek behind the curtain, he's the one that kind of let me know that Devil's River was seeking cease and desist for certain accusations. Not justified accusations. We were wrong about a lot of the accusations. And we did get some feedback about that episode. I will tell you that I've talked to Mike a few times before the show, during the show, and a few times after the show. And I do believe him. And the stuff that he asked me not to, to talk about after the show, he gave me some answers to some follow-ups. Were just stuff that he was afraid we're going to, you know, the people who won't let this go and wouldn't give them a break or be fair to that episode, he just didn't want to give them any more reason to be jerks about things. I definitely believe him. It is grain to glass Texas whiskey. They're still in violation of TTP, but Mike, dude, it takes some – can I speak frankly, just us? This doesn't have to be on the air. No one has to hear this. But the balls it takes for a brand to circumvent any kind of marketing advice or lawyer advice and come on the show, in which thousands of people do watch the show, which is crazy to me, because why? But to come on the show and just directly answer pretty much everything, he deserves much more respect than he was given. I'll say that. That's my opinion. I lost my point. Anyways, thank you guys for watching the show. Thank you for supporting my brands. Thank you for supporting the show. And without further ado, Andrew Rayburn and Averyn Edwards from Terlato and Distel, Boonehaven, Deanston, and Lechaig whiskeys. Cheers. thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chris, for having us.
And I'm glad to kind of sit down with you. Definitely. We've been talking for a while.
Yeah.
You were one of the early pioneers who warned me, like, hey, man, watch out.
Right?
That whole Devil's River thing is blowing up.
Well, and because when it was coming up, I was in Kansas City, and I was, you know, reading the post, and I was like, man, you guys just be careful, you know?
Cause yeah.
I was like, you just don't want somebody to get hit with a lawsuit that, sure, first off, can't afford it. And then it's like, dude, I'm sorry.
I'm right there. I couldn't afford it.
It's just like, hey, this is just what I heard. I'm just talking, you know, freely. But,
well, let me say something about that. I think it's amazing that there are people within the industry that are willing to give people a heads up and say, hey, watch out. Because what happens too often, especially in this, you know, the industry's been very closed for a long time. Everything's walking on eggshells. I went to Barrel Craft Spirits to go pick out some barrels in December in Louisville, and I wore a Glenfiddich sweater for a photo opportunity, and that got around. And I had some brands reach out to me and like, you see what he's wearing? He's wearing a Glenfiddich sweater at a different brand. And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
Like, get over yourself. We no one, even the brand ambassadors themselves, they don't all drink just their products. Yeah. They drink everything, right? So it's,
I don't know what you're talking about on that one.
Yeah.
I just drink nothing but, you know, what I sell. So
this smells fantastic, by the way.
No, it's great, man. Actually, it's at 56.4, so it's going to be pretty much any time you see an LTO from Distell, it's basically going to be at, you know, barrel proof.
So I do try to be mindful of those who have no idea of abbreviations, but
okay.
Limited time offering.
Sorry.
A limited product.
Gotcha.
And Distell is the, they manage these brands. So Lecheg, Tobermory, Bunahabin, Deanston, all longtime Scotch brands. And I'm going to give you a shout out here because I'm looking at the proofs on these things and I just realized we're in trouble.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Scotch is.
Don't get nervous.
Well, trust me, I'm not. Scotch has got this long history of not sedentary, but it's, you know, it's an older brand. The image in people's minds evokes an old white guy or an old, you know, rich person sitting in the thing. But bourbon has been, you know, obviously on this upswing, and you're looking at all these wine finished high proof scotches, I think are going to be very approachable to bourbon drinkers. And just the nose on this alone is screaming fantastic. So
one that was already out, it was, came out from Deanston back in the spring. It was a Bordeaux cast, and, it actually does really well. You might still be able to find a few balls laying around, really tasty.
Water.
Oh no, I'm good. I like to drink it straight first.
There you go.
I find it changes a bit with the water.
Sure.
So,
I will tell you that the initially it drinks under proof.
Yeah.
But then on the back end,
you definitely definitely
just,
get it. So
I call that my Red Bull.
And so actually, Andrew is from Deanston. So he's the mashman. Well, he's not really a mashman right now, or at least been for 6 months. But that's where he did. So, you know, we created this brand ambassador program, and this is the first time we've actually done it. So, you know, with Distell and Terralotto, it's actually a joint venture that we did roughly about 3 years ago. And so, with that, we had Terralotto brands, then we had the Distell brands. So, with the Distell brands, it brought, I would say, some really well-named, you know, world-sized brands.
Sure.
So with the Boonas, the Deanstons, and so on. We even have Black Bottle. That's part of this.
Oh, yeah.
And Scottish Leader. That's also, you know, part of this portfolio. But, you know, we just really want to focus on the single malts and just let you know, like, hey, these are, you know, the limited time offerings that we do. And they've gotten really good. You know, Bunahabin, you'll see those just about, you know, one or two a year. You know,
sure.
We did have a PX that it hit the shelf and it was
gone. Oh, yeah. Village Liquor.
I couldn't even get a bottle. I was so mad. I was like, I hit up Scott and I was like, hey, man, can you find me a bottle? And he's like, yeah, they're all out. And I was like, dude, that lasted like 2 weeks. So
the great thing about it is, so Bunahabin, and correct me if I'm wrong, but traditionally Bunahabin was a large, it was like Kragelike. It was like it was blended in a lot, it was part of a lot of blends, a lot of core. And Bunahabin, when people think of, or at least when blenders would produce a peated blend, that core product was Bunahabin for the most part.
Yes.
And and now it's doing its own thing. It's branding itself in this incredible way, and It kind of reminds me of Edra Dower that does.
Yeah. So you can tell you a good story about that yeah. distillery. Yeah.
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 Well, I used to work there. So
okay.
So it's,
I'm all ears.
But Edra Dower did, I think it was called the House of Lords blend. And then once Andrew Symington took over, I think 2005, he basically went all to single malts and discontinued blends. So yeah, and that they've kind of evolved into the more single malt market. Same with, I guess, Deanston and also Bunahavan. A lot of them of their spirit does go to blends, but they are focusing a lot more on single malts, like limited edition as well as core range varieties, basically.
So, and you've been here since for like 6 months now, right?
Since the 2nd of September, yeah.
What's the just on a national tour preaching the good word of single malts or?
Yeah. So basically, they wanted a workman as such from the distillery to come over and promote the brands. So I'm based in Chicago, and I go to different markets around America.
That's a lot of time away from home.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you tired?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I heard Averyn took you to gun range recently. You got to experience yeah. America at its finest. Did McDonald's after? And
we might have to cut out now.
Yeah. No, we're good.
That's the first time I've fired a gun and saw them for sale, really. And
as Americans, we don't even think twice about it as being weird and... when you hear someone come over here and it's so foreign to them, it's like it's been such a core part of our entire belief system is the Second Amendment, right? So that's crazy. Was it jarring? I mean,
you've read or heard of these things. It was just so unusual. Oh, go down to the shop to buy a $500 handgun. You know, it's back home, it's usually lollipops or chocolate in my case. So it's it's very different to back home.
There's I've told a few stories about my wife on this show, and I want to say our first official date alone, the first time we had met, was with people. But it was either the first or second date alone. I took her to a gun range.
There you go.
And
we saw one of those last night.
And now we're married. So
there you go.
It's such a fascinating part. Which gun range did you go to?
Man, what was it? I was down in Sugarland. We met one of my friends down there. So Johnny, he took us out. He was a member down there. I forgot the name of Texas Guns or something like that.
Sure.
Really nice place. But went in and. He brought his ARs and then 9mm.
Yeah.
So it was good to be able to shoot both and then, just to hear it, you're still like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
But it was good.
You always forget how jarring of an experience it is. It's been a while since I fired a gun.
Yeah.
And it's always fun, but it can be a bit
definitely
abrasive.
No, and that's the thing, with him, he's been here since September. So, and I used to do the same thing he did for Gordon McPhail, and that's when I was just running,
sure.
in and out of airplanes.
I'm a big Gordon McPhail fan, by the way. Yeah.
Always, I mean, great whiskey, so they do a great job. So, I was just like, won't you enjoy some time? Because usually it's like, hey, you're up, and then you're going to an appointment.
Sure.
Saying the same thing over and over again.
The meetings have just nonstop.
Man, and people don't realize that on this side of the table, like, we really enjoy what we do, but we can only tell the story so many times.
Sure.
But it's, like, emotional and mentally draining on you. You know, at the end of the night, you're just still like, okay, I need to wind down. And what do you do to wind down?
You drink.
And
I had David Allardyce in, and we were talking about he had hit, like, I think in 4 weeks, 5 different countries.
And it happens.
I thought that's just it's got to be a soul draining experience. And when you tell me you've been here since September, I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's got to be brutal, man. I mean, I love a good vacation, but 6 months here in away from your own bed is just. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an apartment in Chicago, so it's kind of like home, a temporary home as such. But you do miss certain things from from Scotland. So it's, it's been a great experience. I've enjoyed the traveling different areas and working with people like Averyn, and so it's good fun.
It's been. This is fantastic.
Did you like the brandy?
I'm actually very much enjoy it. It reminds me. Very much of a nice wine finished.
This did just hit the shelves, so they do have.
I thought I saw it at Specs.
Yep,
can I see it?
Yep, definitely. So that just hit the shelves. And
it's only 9 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you really taste that, you know, the brandy cask finish. 2 years finished in the brandy cask.
Basically. 2 years finished in brandy cask. Non-chill. So is it 9 years old plus 2 years, or is it 7 plus 2?
9 years old. 9 years old overall. 7 years in ex whiskey cask, basically. Cask that previously held scotches a few times.
Non-chill filtered, and then, finished in brandy cask.
And then 2 years finished in a brandy cask.
And that's the thing you'll find with really all distilled products, unchill filtered. So that's one thing they
strongly We've talked about that on the show too. There's a couple of key indicators of a little bit more effort put behind the spirit itself.
Definitely.
And non-chill filtered, higher proof. Mm-hmm. Those are all great signs. Even before ever tasting it, it's Scotch, I think, really shines in that 110 plus range.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a fan. I'm going to have a little more.
Definitely, man. Go ahead. No, definitely. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So. Like I said, I honestly, it was the first time I tasted it, and Deanston's always one that, you know, really always surprises me how pleasant and nice it is.
Sure.
You know, I was a big Buna, you know, you knew Buna for a while, so I'm sorry, Buna Haven, I want to say that, because a lot of people be like, wait, what did you just say?
What's Buna? Yeah,
what's Buna? But it's Buna Haven, and, you know, I even like the Lechik, and, you know, the Tobermory is growing on me, but we hadn't really had enough of Tobermory around.
Sure.
Texas is actually one of the lucky markets because you can still find Tobermory 10-year on the shelf.
Yeah.
The rest of the country. All the time. Rest of the country are out.
Yeah, I remember for a long time. Yeah. I mean, that's almost a 20-year-old Lechig is, and that is how you pronounce it, right? Lechig.
Correct.
For those listening. Yeah. Indeed. So I always like to have that discussion on here because during the Glenmorangie episode, we had some debate on a few words. So
right.
I'm very excited to get to the other five bottles of high proof.
Hey, I just wanted to make sure I brought something.
Sure. Yeah, you hit it out of the park. Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't done much of the Buna Haben's limited release stuff like the PX.
Yeah.
I did taste it, and I was very happy with it. I'm excited to see the brand move in this new fun direction.
It's definitely fun. It's definitely creative. So, I mean, the cool things that we've seen coming out of them, it keeps it moving. And it seems like it's – I can't say ahead of trends, but it seems like it's at least hitting with all the bigger guys.
In the Scotch market, I think you're right on par.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously the people have been doing it for years, but it hasn't been in the surge that it has been the last couple of years.
No, definitely.
Especially in Texas. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you actually, I mean, there's the facets to it, but obviously these limited releases are partially for America. But if you actually go to the distilleries themselves, we often do, you know, like fill your own cask. Your own bottling and that.
Sure.
So there's a lot of those rare varieties as well that come from the distilleries themselves. You know, when you go and visit them.
This is hit out of the park.
Nice, man.
What's the word I'm looking for? This is a win. An easy win.
Mm-hmm.
And this is available. Not just in Texas, right? We have a lot of listeners out of Texas. So.
It's man. The weird thing about it is that's going to hit. It's going to hit
sporadic.
So we get our allocation. Like you said, 500 cases. So the U.S. might have gotten 200 cases.
Yeah.
I see.
And so out of that 200.
How much came to Texas?
Oh, man. I'm the manager of that. I should know the exact number. But I think it was right about 30 to 40 cases.
Okay.
That came to Texas.
That's the size of some of our barrels.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, six bottle cases. So,
yeah, it's not much.
But again, only place you're going to find is Specs. And
yeah.
So, but how it breaks out for the states, how we look at business is obviously New York gets their fair share. Texas is second for us, and then Florida, California, and Illinois. So we heavy up in those markets, and then we, of course, spread it out to make sure all markets have it. So we try to at least make sure, and it's the same problem that we have with Buna 18.
Sure.
So like Buna 18 year, we don't have a lot of it. We only get 700-800 cases a year of Buna 18. So for the whole U.S.
Sure.
So it just kind of comes and goes. And then same thing on all these limited releases that we're looking at. I actually think the Palo, it might already be gone. So everything you're looking at actually came out right before the holidays. So it was good timing, but it was kind of like bad timing for people that are like not in the know of it, because then some of this might be gone. Specs does still have quite a bit of this, the Tobermory's and the Lechik. But the Bunas, if you see it, you might want to go ahead and grab it because that's going to be it.
So, sure.
But it's a good market for it. It's all downtown's a good spot to find it, of course. And then kind of go from there. But that's why I want to at least make sure you tasted them.
Yeah.
And so, and then go from there. Just to, you know, a lot of people don't know. And that's what I was trying to tell them. Just, you know, go ahead and talk more about the distilleries. That way they can kind of, you know, hear the story from guys.
This is in Dufftown, right? Or no?
No, this is actually from the Southern Highlands. It's near Dune.
Because I thought I remembered when we visited Glenfiddich and Balvenie, I thought I remembered passing Deanston.
You may have on the way up, but it is sort of near Stirling. It's about 100 miles from
Dufftown. We were coming from Loch Ness, and so we came down through.
Yeah.
What'd you fly out of?
Well, you go out for.
Well, we basically drove through the entire country.
No, but I'm saying like, but where'd you fly into and out of?
Okay, so we flew into.
Was it Glasgow or Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Okay.
We flew into Edinburgh, drove up to Loch Ness, stayed in a monastery up there, and then drove over to Speyside and then down to Balvenie and Glenfiddich. Okay. And I thought I remember passing Deanston.
It's not there. So it's in the Southern Highlands. So it'd be hard to actually, you can't really pass Deanston on the motorway. It's kind of a little bit of the way. It's near Dune, where it's kind of famous for a castle, but Deanston's just up the river from the River Teith. So it's, it's, I don't think you would pass it. Easy get to, though, from Edinburgh, Glasgow, respectively.
Let's see here.
And then, you guys were, what, TripAdvisor or something, like distillery?
Oh, yeah, that is year? Not. That is not. Yeah, that is not.
No, slightly the other way. Yeah, we're four or five stars on TripAdvisor for visits to the distillery.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And because, as I was saying, the distillery is so close to Edinburgh, Glasgow, we're quite a lot of tourists come to the tour center there.
Sure.
So we do lots of show people around the distillery and how it works. But yeah, no, it's a great distillery. It's used to be a cotton mill before it was actually a distillery, so it's got a very unusual history in that regard.
Tobermory. Smells good. Decent nose.
Mm-hmm.
What if I just told you I didn't like it? Would you? I'm just kidding.
Hey.
Well, you know, it's life, so anything can happen.
I've had that happen to me at a trade show before.
I've been to, you know, I don't know if you knew, but I have my own trade show.
Yeah, wow.
I've had many people or seen many people. I've told brands I didn't like stuff, but not, you know, you can do it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
And some stuff is just not in people's wheelhouse, you know.
Yeah.
I know, I got a mustache here that's tickling me, but I've got a lot of friends who are bourbon-only drinkers, and I've introduced them to something as core and as delicious as Macallan 12. Perfect price range, perfect age. And they were like, it's too weird. I'm like, what do you mean weird? Or it's peated. Well, it's not peated.
Yeah.
It's too smoky. Well, it's not smoky. Yeah. So it's I think that there's a way to critique brands and do it in a way. And honestly, I think it means more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I say I didn't like something, and I, by the way, haven't even tasted it. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But if I said I didn't like something, when I do endorse something, I think it means it has more value, more weight behind it. Someone had made a joke last week. I had mentioned I didn't like a brand, a bottling, a specific bottling of an American whiskey. It's not even bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had said, I didn't know that you didn't like anything. It was kind of like a punch. Yeah. Like you say you like everything, right? So.
Well, I mean, some of the back and forth that you and I've had, and actually this is lighter than Deanston, so.
Which is very light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the proof on this?
It's 55.
Wow. It's only like, it's a little less than 2% below.
Yeah.
That's another one that drinks under proof, but all the way through it drinks under proof.
Yeah. I would have probably should have started with the Tobermory. I didn't realize it was that much lighter than the Brandy Cask, but yeah.
Yeah, Tobermory is a very, you know, it's from Mull, an Isle of Mull, so it's a very small distillery. You know, Deanston, we're at full production at the moment, and they're just producing over 2 million litres a year, but Tobermory does less than a million, basically.
Wow.
So very small stills, but very high stills. They've got a very a Lynn arm that goes to the condenser.
Sure.
They've got an S-shape, a lot of copper contact, so it gives you a lot of the oils recondensing, so quite a light spirit, I think, compared to many other
distilleries. What's the story on this 12?
This is a limited edition again, around about 1,600 bottles.
Can I see it?
Yep. The bottle or
the box? The bottle or box, whatever's got the most story on it.
That's both. Great. Yeah. I mean, so the cool thing, actually, this box doesn't have the coloring of it, but.
Fino Sherry Cask Finish?
Yeah, Fino.
So how
2 years.
2 years.
And it's 10 years next Whiskey Cask again.
Yeah, so that's a crazy amount for finishing. I know a lot of people who are finishing for... I know someone locally who's finishing for less than 6 months. You know? Yeah. 2 years for a finish is pretty...
Where are they finishing at? Is it in Texas or America?
They're sourcing from out of state and finishing here.
Well, but so climate. That's what you're...
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But in this case, it's really a economic decision.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, for years we did full wine cask maturation in a lot of spirits, and then we changed to finishing. And when that first came out, there was some criticism around that. And now you have something referred to as seasoning, right? Mm-hmm. So you get those sherry cask season stuff. And I actually started giving, you know, full disclosure, Macallan's a sponsor of the show, but I can at least doesn't care if I speak freely.
Yeah. You only said Macallan twice.
I could use someone else as an example, but I've given them a hard time. And then we kind of talk to them, and it's there is a global boom behind whiskey. And you either have to change your what you're known for, or you have to, you know, you have to go the exact you have to do away with all wine finishes because you can't keep up and do full maturation, or you do finishing and seasoned cask as a way to maintain at least as much as possible to that what you're known for. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to change the entire face of the brand by doing what you haven't been known for hundreds of years, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've given a lot of criticism, but I also kind of I retract a little bit of it. I think finishing is still so much, you know. 2 years is such a longer commitment and a costly one compared to 1 year finishing, 8 months finishing, and this smells and tastes pretty fantastic.
And,
The Tobermory 10-year-old, it was all an ex-bourbon cask for 10, you know, 10 years. So this is something a little bit different, a little bit extra. So hopefully you'll get a lot of citrus or toffee notes from this particular
one. There's a ton of the word caramel is used quite a bit, but there's an actual kind of a melted caramel sweetness to it. Like, it's not super intense, but it's a very nice almost chocolatey caramel, almost like I hate to say the word frappuccino, but the sweetness on this is very underexpressed.
It's funny because when you look at our professional tasting notes on it, you're going to say frap, but it says espresso and dark chocolate.
Pretty damn close. I'll take it. I'll take it.
So, I mean, this one, it's been out for a little bit. I was just trying to look at kind of the price point on this bad boy.
And let me see the box, by the way.
Yeah. Sure. And that's one cool thing that I've noticed. We've really stepped up the game on the boxes.
Oh, I mean, no doubt.
Yeah. You'll see that when we get to it. But everything, it's nice. You know, it's definitely, you know, bringing it up to that that consumer.
Dark coffee, dried fruit.
Yep.
Espresso, dark chocolate. I mean, I'm gonna give myself a little credit.
Yeah. There you go. Did you write that? I mean,
yeah, I cheated. I looked it up before we did the show.
Right? It's nice. And so that's the thing. So Tobermory, actually, you can still find the 10-year in the Texas market. Maybe some scragglers out in some other markets.
Sure.
But it's been out. We've been out of Tobermory for at least 2 years. And so,
what do you mean?
Without production.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're not doing the 10 anymore.
No. So moving forward, we will have a Tobermory 12-year.
Limited edition.
No, it won't be a limited edition. So the PhenoCast is a limited release, but they're going to come out with the 12-year that will be hopefully core. The core.
Yeah.
And so
you're no longer doing 10. You're going up to 12. That's impressive. That's worth noting anyways. I mean, the big thing for years, same thing in regards to like moving on and off brand. NOS, no age stated whiskeys, have caught a lot of flack, and for you to move that up is a pretty...
Well, I mean, it was just one that when we were sitting down in a meeting that they had basically told us that, you know, they like the 10, but at the same time, they want it a little bit more. They want it a little bit more flavor and, you know, something that I guess responded to the consumer a little bit.
A ton of wine influence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's nice. It's a little bit lighter. I almost wish we would have tasted that one first, but it's still nice. So,
well, this has got some youth to it, right? That 9 years really—I always call it a youthful bite. It's got a little bit of the burn really comes through, but not in a negative way. It's just, it kind of shows its age a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, there's nothing at a 55 plus. And I've talked to people about how pricing works on the show, which I love to kind of pull that curtain back. You guys are putting 10 years into something, and if you work backwards on price, you're not making much on this.
Yeah.
And it's crazy with bourbon now. You can pay $90 for a 9-year-old bourbon.
Yeah.
Would not have to deal with imports or shipping, you know. And you can get some 12-year-old scotch or some 10-year-old scotch consistently at a sub $50 price range or right around there, which is just, it's crazy to me the amount of people who are putting. I remember there's a big jeweler here local, a guy named Jay Friedman, great guy, huge family man, and he does pretty well for himself. And I remember him telling me scotch is a rich man's game. I was like, not anymore, man. Bourbon is a rich man's game.
You see, he threw out Friedman like right before Valentine's Day.
That's not a plug. Although Jay does. I mean, they do some pretty incredible stuff. I think he worked last year. He worked on the Astros Trophy.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Do you know Jay?
No, I don't know him personally, but I know Friedman Stores and stuff like that.
He's. I don't know that. I don't think it's called Friedman.
Friedman?
No, he's a partner with a few guys, but they've got. I've got an office building.
Okay.
You have to, like, go through security, get taken up to a floor, you know.
So he's one of those.
He's one of those.
One of those guys. Gotcha. Okay.
This is fantastic. I'm very happy with that.
Yep. No, it's got a lot of interesting flavors. Yep, definitely. So, for a 12-year-old. So
I'm excited just from the 12 to move up.
21's been out for a little bit. We've had the 21.
Should we do the 21 next or the 19 next?
The 19's smoky, so I suggest the 21 would be the more rational.
I'm excited.
So, yeah, we'll do the 21, then we'll bounce to the Moyne?
We'll do the Moyne, and then we'll finish off the Parallel Cortado.
Okay, when are you going back?
24th of February.
And then, this is going to be about 500. And then that's going to be – actually, the Moen's not bad. So you probably see that about 110 for the Moen.
What's that box?
Yeah, the box is pretty legit. So when you take it out, it actually locks in.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to turn it to
actually, take it out.
Yeah, or the bottle won't even move. So
interesting.
They've come up with some cool – and you'll see –
weight to it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a – this ship's in a two-pack. You know, yeah, it's only two in there.
$500. Oh man, I'm getting treated like a king today.
Man, I told you I was gonna take care of you, man. And then, hey, we got some small ones we're gonna taste at the society event. You know,
oh, that's gonna be cool.
Nothing too special there.
The 240-year-old and the 242-year-old. It's gonna be good.
240 and
42. So we're changing the event a little bit this year. We're going to give people a little bit more elbow room.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are a little ahead of schedule, which is great, right? Especially before the rodeo here in town.
Yeah.
So we're going to take one of the rooms that we did a Pappy tasting in one room. After the Pappy tasting, we're going to turn that room into the Texas Whiskey.
Nice.
We're doing something with Texas Whiskey Association. We're going to have them set up in there, but we're going to turn that room into the place so you can hit all the great Texas whiskey distilleries. And then that gives people a little bit more room on the floor.
Makes sense, though. I mean, it's Texas. You want to separate those from everybody else because, hey, this is, to me, and it's very prideful for any brand that comes out of Texas, you know,
and that's why some brands got so much slack was the perception that it may not have been from Texas.
No,
right?
That's the thing. So it's like, hey, if you're truly from Texas and you want to be represented here, then set them out. So yeah.
Speaking of not being used to certain parts of our culture, have you noticed how prideful we are in regards to our Texas heritage?
Well, I've seen a lot of flags. So next to the American one. But for Texas whiskey, do you have any laws that are different to the rest of the country?
No. Our laws are written in a way that I'm not going to say that there are loopholes, but there are ways you can word certain things on the label. But the TTB has guidelines that mention that if you are going to list a regional specific, like a Tennessee whiskey or a Texas whiskey, that it needs to be from those places. So
right.
Tennessee whiskey actually enacted a law in 2011 I believe it was 11, where they were very specific on the guidelines. Texas isn't there yet. We're working on it. But there is an organization like Texas Whiskey Association that is that has created their own seal and are only giving that seal to brands that meet their interpretation of the TTP guidelines. So they're holding each other accountable until the states get caught up with the laws.
Gotcha.
So we are going to have that done. I think it'll be a fun extension and give people a little bit more room to move around.
Right.
And of course, that makes it easier for our Scotch brethren to really...
I'm going to have to taste the notes from you this
time. Okay. All right.
Just so you know, it's my favorite whiskey of all our...
Oh, really?
Brown, so yeah. Please beat it up. So. Beat it up.
You signed off on this.
So it's a...
It smells... It's Manzanilla got a sweetness to it.
Yeah, Manzanilla.
Manzanilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the first cask I realized was Manzanilla, or the first one that caught my eye was Cavillon.
Okay.
But Cavillon's a little bit tricky with their representation. You're talking about mostly a three-year-old whiskey, give or take, and a very wet cask, so to speak.
I don't work for a brand.
I don't work for a brand.
I don't judge on ages.
There's plenty of great brand. There's plenty. Let's try that again. There's plenty of great. It's not high proof.
No, it's coming.
Cavillon has a lot of great stuff. But what I'm saying is the first thing that caught my eye that was anything Manzanilla was them, and I actually had. I'm going to name drop. Makes me feel important. I had lunch with John Campbell from Lafroy.
Okay, nice.
And he had mentioned that they had tested the waters with a Manzanilla cask. Yeah. And I believe it was Manzanilla. I could be wrong.
Gotcha.
But it was so bad that they just scrapped it. And then last year they did the pheno cask instead.
Okay.
So,
right. Manzanilla is like a pheno, but it's from a coastal sherry from Andalusia in Spain.
The smell on this is almost an apple-y, like an apple, a fresh red apple, like a baked red apple. You know, like the kind your grandmother used to make with green apples?
Yeah.
But the more red freshness.
You made me hungry. my stomach growled on that one. No, but...
Yeah, a lot of fruit in this.
Yeah.
Oh, tons of fruit.
And it's a really long finish. It's very subtle.
It's unfinished?
No, it's a very long finish. You know, it's 53.8%, but I don't feel any burn with this one.
It's another underproof. How long is it in Manzanilla?
2 years. Ago. Yeah.
So I'll be honest with you. It distinctly reminds me of an apple brandy from Copper and Kings. I'm a huge Copper and Kings supporter on the show, and they have an apple brandy that they do that has a yeasty biscuit quality, and that's what I'm getting from this. It's kind of a yeasty a dinner roll.
Mm.
I mean, on the palate.
Can't go wrong with yeast and biscuits.
Or dinner rolls.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right? Oh, it's nice. Definitely. I mean, it's, you know, to be able to open this up when I'm at home.
It's 21 years old, too. Yeah. That's one hell of an age. What's the price on that one?
I think it's $240 retail in America, roughly.
Yeah, that's going to be suggested retail. Yeah. I believe we're going to be closer to the 200s here.
Sure. But that's a great price for, I mean, and that's another thing that's crazy is you're going to pay much more. I love Barrel, and Barrel caught a little bit of flack for their recent 15-year-old bourbon.
Gotcha, yep.
It's actually a blend of 15, 16, and 17-year-old bourbon for $250.
Yeah.
And that's actually comparatively not a bad price.
Mm-hmm.
I think what people got confused on is the way our laws work here is, again, if you put an age statement on there, it's got to be the youngest distillate in the bottle.
Yeah.
We did a couple 14-year-old bottles at $85 apiece. So people's minds think 14, 15 from 85 to 250, but really you're getting a lot of 16 and 17-year-old bourbon in there. It's actually a great price comparatively. Yeah. But again, 21-year-old scotch that goes through this entire process, 2 year finishing in Manzanilla cask.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with this.
Mm. Thank you very much.
And this is your favorite.
It is my favorite, definitely. And there's a great box comes in as well. And Tobermory itself, the place where it's made, I mean, it's a very beautiful village on Mull.
Oh, sure.
It's got a, you know, all the houses are painted different colors.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull a picture up for you.
Yeah, trying to get a picture. But it's a wee fishing village in the north of Mull. But right it's you can't get much of a better place to stay, really.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That means something else here in the U.S.
Well, hey, you know, we don't discriminate, right?
Man, that is...
But yeah, definitely colorful.
It's fruit. All right, let me see the tasting notes. Let's knock this out.
It's actually really good on the... It's really good on the bottle. All right, it's on the box, too.
All right, cool. So let's see here. Dry fruit, pears, citrus, spiced orange, leather, oak. Okay. Citrus, dried fruit notes, hints of coffee, bitter chocolate. I don't get the bitter chocolate. I
never really get the chocolate, man.
I get rich oak and subtle. Because I think when we think of chocolate, we're, at least Americans, we're thinking, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's sexual chocolate like me.
Yeah. You know? You're black?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. What time stamp is that? No. Yes, I am black. But it's very rare that I get chocolate really in anything that I taste.
I will get
a little bit more raisin.
I agree with you. I get more phenolic raisiny notes, like a you know how wine can reach a smoky-ish point.
Mm-hmm.
I always say phenol, so mm-hmm. I would say phenolic. Yep. Chocolate to me always reminds me of chocolate brown sugar bourbon, mm-hmm. right? That's what I always get, those core notes in, that almost in all bourbons, yeah. no matter what they are, it's all chocolate brown sugar, right? Mm. This is really interesting.
No, it's nice. Like, man, you know, a lot of times when we do the trade shows and people come up to our table, they're like, well, what do you drink? And I'm like... Really?
That's a loaded question because if you say your spirits, they're going to say, well, of course you're going to say your spirits.
Well, yeah.
And then if you don't say your spirits, they're like, well, what's wrong with your spirits? It's a crappy question.
I tell you some of the things that it'd be interesting if we could get all the suppliers together that do the trade shows and just do a reel and say, hey, what are the things that really bother you
about these events? That's how our event started.
Yeah.
Was Houston's the fourth large, and I know people are tired of hearing the story, but it's the fourth largest city in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't have any good events, and I'm not saying my event is great, but
it's not the, really.
Have you been?
No. I hadn't been to yours. No. I wasn't knocking yours.
Sure.
I'm saying the ones.
All the events have every year less brands.
It's just a money grab.
Correct. And some of the prices are just incredible. So I reached out to all the brands and I asked them. I was like, "What do you hate about these events?" And it was like, I gave them a right to say their honest feelings, you know, and they just unloaded with all this negative feedback. We hate this. We hate that. Yeah. We hate that. There's
You're like a therapist.
Yeah. So we just got rid of all that. Like everything they hate, we got rid of. Yeah. Non-licensed, so bring in your own product. We charge the least amount of any event for any tables that I know of, unless there's another event out there. There was another event that happened recently where I asked the guy mm-hmm. what the table prices were for in case I wanted to get him some brands, and he said $5,000, and I was like, oh well, good luck with that. I can't really help you there.
I mean, you got some brands that they have to spend certain amount of dollars for their budgets because they have it, and then you have smaller guys and new guys that are trying to up and come and that are making great whiskeys, but it's like, do I spend $5,000 there, or do I spend $5,000 on a different activation where I can actually see some sales?
Sure. And let me say something about that. So and I notice this every year. Small brands, when they're first getting into market, they do a hard push marketing wise.
Mm-hmm.
They will have that money for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They will not have it for next
year.
And you may be able to get away with something one time.
Yeah.
But you have to, and I try. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I try real hard to kind of align our priorities around the brand so that they want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with United specifically mm-hmm. that anything you sell at the event,
gotcha.
You can buy at the event.
Yeah.
So what we do is we partner with Village Liquor, who's been fantastic ever since Parav took over a couple of years ago. I wasn't really in the industry back then, but Parav is so. He's very, very wise for his age.
No, go ahead.
Parav, we basically created an inventory from all of our brands. So eventually I'll send you a sheet that you fill out.
Yeah.
And anything you want available to be sold at the event, he could order the event and then pick it up at any four of the locations. Nice. Within here. So that way you can see that ROI. If you're going to pay whatever to come to the event,
exactly,
then you can move some product.
And to me,
and stuff like this is just, it's worthy of being picked up.
Yeah. And I mean, like I told you, you know, when I was doing Gordon McPhail, I was in and out of planes flying, and there's two events that always stick out in my head.
Ken Eccles, I think that's the guy that does Gordon McPhail now, right?
Yes. Ken Eccles? Yes. So he works for Martinetti. I forgot what they call it.
Martin Gennetti. I've never known how to pronounce it.
Martinetti.
Martinetti.
Yeah. They're out of
Martin Gennetti. Yeah, like Massachusetts. Idiot.
But yeah. No, yeah, right. Mark Gennetti. Yeah. But it was three of us that started the whole Gordon McPhail deal with Martinetti. Sure. And got it up and running. But with that, there was really two events. There was one in Sarasota that we spoke about today.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about that event was, first off, they did a panel of, and you pick like 10 brand ambassadors or distillers or whoever.
Wait, where was this?
This was in Sarasota.
Today?
No. This was, it's coming up in April, right?
Which one? The 10th of April, yeah.
Okay, so, but the way they set it up is, hey, so
and it's a consumer event?
Yeah. It's awesome, man. Seriously. So it's the way they set it up is like a 4-day event. So
I'm working on that as well. Yeah, so I want a multiple day event.
Yeah, so one day it's, hey, you can come and do this tasting and you get 10 people, right? And with those 10 people, they'll talk about their brand. You bring one bottle and we're going to do a tasting, you know, small tasting for, I think they're going to do like 50 people at this tasting. But they'll ask questions. We're up there and talking about our whiskeys.
Sure.
Everybody has like, you know, 10 minutes, whatever it is. So, and then the next day is the actual tasting. They have the tasting room, and then you walk out that door, and guess what? That's the place where you buy the liquor. So it's literally like,
yeah,
you like it? Go buy it.
Yeah.
So, and then I was
And people want that too. It's real hard in Texas.
Yeah.
The way we have to do it is, so it's all uploaded on an app on your phone, so you can at the event.
Oh, nice.
If you're standing at the table and you say, is that available? And you say, yes, okay, it's available, because you're the one that filled out that form.
Yes.
You're the one that tells me what's available.
Nice.
They can order it from the phone, or they can go right over there to that table and buy it. And it's something that it's not done anywhere else in the state. No other event does it.
Yeah.
And in order to do it legally, it's a very fine line.
Like,
we had to call TABC and say, this is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually quite simple, but it is still a very, very fine line to be able to do it legally. But you can taste something, and if you want it, you don't have to go hunting for it. You can secure it there. That's the big problem that people have nowadays, is everyone has to hunt for stuff.
I think a lot of it is when you look at some of these brands, and the thing I learned really with Scotch, and I'm not talking for everybody.
Sure.
But a majority of, I would say, people that need to sell it without calling anybody out, you know, just kind of did, that need to sell it to help us promote the brands for our sales reps and distributors, sometimes they don't feel comfortable with selling single malt scotches or blended scotches. They feel like, you know, I'm going to walk into an account and, you know, somebody's going to know more about the scotch than me. Like, oh, hey, I'm going to go walk into Chris today and I got to sell this. Oh, crap. I can't even pronounce this. You know, it's like a Buna. Then they show you. And then first thing you're like, well, shoot. Oh, Buna Hobbin. They're like, how you say it. And then you're like, really?
Or Oben.
Yeah.
Orangey.
Exact. So,
Glengarry.
And, you know, it's not that we don't do the trainings. We do the trainings. It's just they feel more comfortable with bourbons, tequilas, vodkas.
It's easy, man. You know, it's Pappy's, right? I mean, that's as good as it gets, right? So,
and a lot of it, I mean, honestly, like a brand like Glenfarclas, a lot of it too, you know, it depends on how much money they're putting behind it.
Sure.
Same thing with us. How much money are you going to put behind it? How much you're going to incentivize the reps to get it out there and stuff like that. So, but my thing of it is really with, and I know you're a big PX guy. So
I'm a big peat guy too. And there's some very familiar notes coming from
when
this
you
right
did
now.
Devil's River. The other guy that was
did you watch
on,
that episode.
Yeah, you did.
What do you think?
So when the other guy was sitting over there, he's not a peat guy. Right, he's like,
who's
just
here, Alan. Yeah,
what it was. He's like, and I'm like, dude, I got two Pete's. I want to put in front of him.
So he's a Buna fan.
Yeah,
the only Pete that Alan Denny is a fan of is Buna Hobbin, and he for a while was picking up
I'm glad you said that.
Is it the?
Because we're gonna have a story to tell you when we get to Boone.
Is this the fourth segment? Oh wow, this is flying by. Okay. So we've got to speed through some things. Cool. But I think it's the 21 or the 25 Boone Hobbin.
Oh yeah,
that comes in the box.
Yeah,
the wooden box.
Yeah.
Alan, you know, a lot of us aren't rich people, right? So mm-hmm. Alan was regularly, at least once a year, buying a bottle of Boone Hobbin 25.
Then we went up in price.
Yeah, and then you went up in price. And yeah. I think you also went up in proof a little bit. Or is it down in proof?
No, I think because
there was something else than just price.
We do 43, right? Or
46.
I'm sorry.
We do 46. Now, we've done since 2010.
Yeah.
They kind of chill, fill.
So we went up because we always do the 46 kind of across on the core range.
Sure,
yeah.
So, but long story short on that one is we had to go up on price.
Well, yeah, well, I don't blame you.
We were freaking running out of 25 years. So, and that's where it was like, all right, we got to.
I know some other 25s that are going for $600, $700. So
well, raised it to 1,000. That shocked the world because it was, got this at $399.
You raised the 25 up to 1,000?
Well, we raised it, but then we brought it back down. So then now we're back down to that $699 mark and stuff like that.
Wait, then maybe I have to go to 21 then.
No. It was 25. It was short. We raised it for like maybe a half a year.
No. But you guys do produce 21?
No,
I want to say he was paying 150, then he was paying 240, and if you went up to 1,000,
The 1,000 was just last year, so this was just last year. But no, that's right, for the 25 year, the wooden box.
Sure.
No, that and it was down at that price point, and because I remember when we changed price, I went to a retailer. It wasn't specs, I promise. But I went to a retailer and they were still selling it for $399. So I went and bought like two bottles because I was like, shoot, I can't get it at that price.
Yeah, yeah.
And just so
and I they're happy just to get rid of the bottles.
Yeah, for my samples. Then I went back the next day and they were like, oh, yeah. So it caught on pretty quick. But it's one of those things where we just tried to slow down the demand, which we did a good job on that real quick. So, but go ahead.
So not to jump the gun here, but so this, I'm such a lover of Isla. Mm. And I know it's not. I know it's not. Let me finish my thought. He's about to give me.
Yeah.
No, this reminds me so distinctly of Oogie, right? Ardbeg Oogadol.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's a independent bottler named Smokehead.
Right,
yes. That are $45 a piece. Mm-hmm. And it's unconfirmed, but it's confirmed that Smokehead is Ardbeg, young Ardbeg.
Right.
This has got so much of that beautiful, bright, but there's age on this. Like, right. Mm-hmm. So it's none of that young bite is there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got that familiar peat, that beautiful island peat, that mm-hmm. Hebridean gorgeousness. This right here smells and tastes very familiar.
Yeah, I got a lot of smoked bacon kind of notes.
Yeah, this is,
you know, it's this is missing nice. The palate.
And again, 55 points. I hate to be a broken record. All of these drink under proof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might have to do with the age, right? So if you take something and you age it for an incredible amount of time, even at a higher proof, it's going to be a bit more subtle, mm-hmm. a bit more quieter. You're mm-hmm. so used to 8-year-old bourbon at cask strength that it's not.
Oh yeah,
the burn is what you think of. You forget that the burn also is part of the age, right?
Yeah.
But at 19 years old, even at 55.7, this is
It comes across really nice. So biggest thing I know he was going to tell you is
if you guys did want to sponsor the show, I think I'm going to bother you about it. This is Ardbeg all day.
These two are actually the same distillery.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I know.
I know you know that.
Tobermory and Lecheg are the same distillery.
Yes.
So you notice it's the same bottle too.
The one you're having right now was distilled in 1998 as well. So it's, you know, from the last century. But so they do 50% production or 56 months production each side, basically.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again.
They'll do 6 months of when they are in production. They'll do 6 months of Tobermory, and then they'll clean the distillery out, and then they'll do Lecheg. Yeah. Yep. So they'll use smoked barley for that.
Which to me, it's really interesting to see those side by side, you know, to see how they taste so much different.
And what's the finish on this?
It's PX, Pedro Jimenez.
Oh,
it's 2 years finished, and it's 17 years in ex whiskey casks, basically.
I really like this.
Good. That's why we're here.
Hey, man, I tried to make sure I didn't disappoint you. So,
my wife and I are on a big look, I love bourbon.
Yeah.
If you say you hate bourbon, you're going to catch some shit for it here.
Hey, I just told you I'm trying to learn to appreciate.
Not you. I mean the group. Yeah. I love the group, but my roots have always been in Scotch by accident. I've told this story a bunch too, but the first bottle I ever bought was Laphroaig 18. I didn't know that there was non-peated, peated. I didn't know that smoky wasn't an option. No. All right. So my roots have always – my passion for whiskey started with single malts, mm-hmm. right? Brooklady and Glenmorangie and all these great bottles that have just made an impact. Highland Park. This is like a warm hug for my grandmother.
There you go.
Every part of this is just –
We had a really cool experience in St. Louis when we were doing the whiskey event there. It was Whiskey in the Winter, and we were right across from
Laphroaig. It's a good winter malt.
Yeah.
It's a good winter malt, yeah.
So we were right across from Laphroaig, and they were actually tasting, I believe it was like a 30-year. And people came in running, and I was like, what in the world? I was like, what's going on over there? And then, drinking, and they come over to our table, and they're like, holy crap. And I'm like, what's up? Because we had our 19s there and 18s of the Lechikin. It was, they were looking, and they're like, man, this is almost. And I'm like,
and not $1,200 a bottle?
Yeah. And I was just like, hey. And,
so I'll say this. Yep. Laphroaig is probably obviously the most sentimental mm-hmm. in my life, but huge fan of the brand. I will say that obviously the longer in oak, the more muted peat gets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For me, Laphroaig is 26, 27 is probably the max I want to go.
Gotcha.
I've had several 30s, several 32s, and they just aren't quite what I love. And honestly, for $70, the batch strength is a real great example of Isla can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very nice 19 years. It's still tons of peat. Wintertime malt, mm-hmm. that is a wintertime malt. I want to be around. I want to wear my Patagonia jacket around a campfire.
Mm. Well, you know, hey, it'll be there in March. Well, actually, I don't know if that's going to still be around in March. So we'll see. We'll see.
I highly encourage you to still bring it regardless.
Well, if it's still available, put it like that. So we'll definitely. But that, again, everything we're showing is limited release. So
all right. So we're running out of time. Yep. We got 5 minutes left. Yep. Let's hit these Bunas.
Cool.
Okay. So the next one we'll have is the Buna
Moen.
Your own Moen. So it's a very smoky variety from Bunahavn. So Bunahavn, as you probably know, is generally unpeated Scotch. However, we do have
Bunahabin's unpeated Scotch. Lightly peated. I thought it was always lightly peated.
No, we emphasize in non-peatiness generally with that one. So it's
that's why Alan liked it so much.
And but they do about usually I think that last year they did 35%, normally 10% peated variety. But then this 8-year-old is fully matured in Bordeaux French red wine casks. So you're going to get a lot of smoke in the nose, but you're also going to get a lot of fruit.
We've had some really big write-ups on this Moen from, you know, like other states and
so
people.
58.1, too. You're pushing the envelope.
Hey, man.
Distillation date 08, mm-hmm. about 10 years old, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
A little under 10 years. And a first of our Isla malt, we have fully matured our Moen in Bordeaux red wine cask for 9 full years, creating a deep red, mm-hmm. golden liquid.
Yeah.
Balanced with pepper and smoke. And how much peat's in here, you said? 10?
The parts per million when it started off 40, roughly around 40.
Oh, that's significantly high. The human palate can usually spot it around eight parts per million minimum.
But
no added color, non-chill filtered, matured and bottled.
I feel like it's gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that you'll see with so typical Bunahavn 12 year.
I'm cleansing my palate.
No, you're good. Yeah, Monster. How much are they paying for this? No, I'm joking. So, but Buna 12 year.
Sure.
That you would see on the shelf. Actually, what you'll see on the shelf now, as far as Bunahavn, you'll see a Strudadair, which is a no age statement, green label. And then you'll see Bunahavn 12-year, which is a staple of ours, which is unpeated. Both of those are unpeated. All right. And currently in Houston, we still have still out in the U.S., we still have two peated versions of Buna. And that's the Toitich and the Kobanak.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two. But once those are gone, and basically what's on the shelves now, that's it, of the two peated expressions. But we're going to replace that with a Toitich Aga. And so that will be hitting the Houston market actually probably in February. So anytime, really. And that will replace those two peated expressions of Buna. But then when you look at Buna, our core range, the Studebaker, no age statement, 12-year, 18 and 25, unpeated, sherry cast. And it's, yes, it's from Islay, but the taste profile is going to be similar to a Speyside still with the Islay influence of the sea salt, the seaweed, the iodine that kind of comes through.
So that is very apparent that it's fully matured in red wine cask.
It's a little dry right there.
It is very, very dry, very red, red wine heavy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the real strong dry taste always reminds me of, and this is not going to make sense to anyone listening, but it makes sense in my head. I used to, my wife's grandmother is 98 years old, 95, 98, something like that. I mean, really at that point, it doesn't matter. There's a dustiness when we go over to her house. It's like we stayed, we'll go up and visit her sometimes. We'll stay the night upstairs and she never goes upstairs. She's 98 years old. There's no going upstairs. But there's these old twin beds that my wife and her sisters used to sleep on when they were like kids, right? Mm-hmm. So we're in our 30s now, right? So those beds are old, right? So there's like this dusty, musty, and that's what reminds me of fully matured in a positive way. That's not.
I guess
it sounds like I'm over here shitting on it, it's there's a very dry.
No, at least you didn't go the summer's eve route, you know, where you could have went that way. I had to think of how to really say that, how I wanted that to come out, but
there's that is a 9 year, and also older than 9 years.
And also another thing to point this out is that you don't normally get fully matured red wine casks in Scotch, so this is quite unique in that regards. And again, there's only 700 cases of this production, it's limited finished. Edition.
And I would say it drinks about, for the first time today, it drinks about the right proof, 58.1. But it does taste older than what it is because of that red, fully mature.
Yeah, red wines tend to mature a lot quicker than that's a very dark color for 9 years.
I hate to dump this, so
Just use the other glass.
I might use the other glass for the second Buna.
Yeah, so this is the Palo Cortado.
Okay,
and so this one is, I would say for this time of the year, it's our big daddy right now. It's
your big daddy. Yeah, what's about, big daddy? What's the price?
About $500. So definitely, it's our definitely our step up.
But that's your beast.
It's not our beast.
I mean, that's not a bet for single malt Scotch. Just going back to Jay Friedman's comments on a rich man's game, it's still up there, but it's not. Yeah. What's the story behind it? Because I'll give you a comparison to it.
Yeah. So honestly, though, we say that, but we shipped. I think I only had 20 cases of this for Texas. Sure. We only have left 8 cases. So we only have 16 bottles left in the Texas.
Wow.
So
2-pack cases?
Yeah, 2-pack cases. So,
1,600 bottles overall production. Yeah. Again, very limited. And it's just like a little, all these are just part of the sort of limited editions.
What's the ages? Give me that.
This one is 21 years old, and it's 2 years in the Palo Cortado sherry cask. It's kind of in somewhere between a Fino and a Oloroso, sort of a medium sherry and such, and so you get some hints of like toffee in that, but also some more of the sort of fruitier notes of Fino. So it's kind of a in between the two.
So I'm going to do a little constructive criticism to a different brand.
Okay.
I realize that is, you do not endorse or say anything that you agree with anything I'm saying, but I think that Whistlepig Boss Hog is an incredible whiskey.
Yep.
I think it tastes fantastic. There's no complaints, but it's also $500.
Yeah.
And it's 14 years, give or take. So you're talking about a 21-year-old Palo Cortado cask finish that's got a limited production of less than 2,000 bottles worldwide at 54.9%.
Yeah.
And then again, I've talked about how brands make their money working backwards. If the retailer takes 25% to 30% and if the distributor takes 25% to 30%, not including if a separate importer is also involved, then you're not making a ton of money off this incredible release. And well, I don't know if it's incredible yet. I'm gonna taste it.
No, definitely. Right, I mean, it's done well.
Oh, there's a butterscotch note to that.
And it comes with that cool box. So this is the cool box that it comes with too.
Inside the cool box. Inside the cool box. $100
Yeah. There you go.
There's a butterscotch note to this. Like a toffee.
I got some toffee or caramel.
Don't tell me yet. I'm getting some toffee. I'm getting some.
Maybe some dry fruits as well.
Don't influence me. Don't cheat.
The palate has gone.
Dried. I'm definitely getting dried fruits. It reminds me of so there's this great bar that I always encourage.
Reserve 101?
Nope. I encourage. I always encourage France to go visit. And the bar's called Rosewater in Clear Lake. Pasha does If you were down there, you should have called me. That's where I live, man.
We
could have had drinks. I could have got you to. This guy has a potty mouth like crazy. Dude, you don't get to see it on camera.
I took him down to.
Now that we know where you live, we might invite you.
I took him down to Galveston for a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, just so you could see the.
So you can see the dirty water. Yeah. So Rosewater recycles all their leftover fruits, and this has a dried citrus note to it. Like if you take a slice of orange and dry it out, this has got that dried, almost like a French. Man. Something in this. It smells fantastic.
I'll be honest with you.
I got a lot of dry fruits.
It's the first time I've tasted this. Like,
out of the smokiness bottle. As well. I get to.
Very slight.
Mm-hmm. Out of the bottle and with.
Is there peat in this?
No.
I don't get any peat.
There's not meant to be any peat, but there is a slight smoky tint to it.
You do get a little. Just.
I would argue it's probably the wine.
I would say you probably hit, if you're looking at phenol level, and I hadn't looked at the spec sheet on this, probably maybe a 10.
Maybe. Less
just enough.
I did find a slight smoky hint when I actually tasted it in a fresh glass.
So the master blender of all these that we tasted is a lady named Christy McCallan.
Oh, yeah?
That's what's even more interesting.
Funny about it.
So there's another McCallan drop for you.
Listen, it's interesting. The show, the only way this show stays afloat it costs money.
I want to talk to you about that.
And brands help sponsor the show, but I don't have brands on that I won't. There's been a couple of brands out of Austin that I've denied sponsorship for because I think their product's bad. And
you got to have a certain integrity too for your show. So.
It's not to sling mud or to be mean to them, but it's like if I know that it's not a respectable company, then it's gonna only prevent the show from growing.
One thing they always tell you, if you're going in business, go into business that's something that you're passionate about, right?
I can tell you right now, I'm passionate about it, but I don't know about making money on this show yet.
I'm working on it. But I'm saying, but if you're going to partner with people, you want to be passionate about them too.
Yeah.
So if it's something that you're drinking, especially Whiskey Knee, I mean, hey, it's a drinking show. So if it's something you can't sit here and palate yourself, I don't think.
I am working very hard to get a few comedian celebrities in here that I know drink.
Yeah.
I think it would be an incredibly different show just to sit down and Jack, as a note to you.
You need me to get Kevin Hart here?
Fast cuts. It doesn't have to be the full, we can sit down for an hour and talk, but fast cuts between talking and segments, I think would be get a few drinks in them before start filming and just kinda. I think it would be I'm working on it. I had a call today from that guy I mentioned. I think it would be great. Yeah. There's been a few big comedians that know Kevin Hart.
Hey, I'm
it's
just
not
saying.
Kevin Hart, no. But anyways, no, we've gone through all four segments.
Yep.
I can't tell you how thankful I am you guys came.
No, thank you, man.
Every part of this was a big nerd out for me, so I really am happy.
No, definitely. I feel bad that I didn't get to do anything with the big group, but we'll make it up, obviously, at the social.
We'll make it the social, and I can do something whenever. We've got a few federal grill.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big federal supporter. Boss Cat, big supporter of Boss Cat. If you want to do something with an account ever, let me know.
Definitely.
We promote it. Our email list. People like to give me a hard time and say I get a lot of our followers from the group, but our email list has been over 5,000 people for the past 3 years.
Got you. Okay.
Which has and if, as you know, yep. HBS just hit 5,000.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's been happening a lot longer than that. But if you are doing something at any accounts, you guys have my support 100%. Just let me know.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. We've just sent it out to our group.
No, definitely. I mean, the biggest thing for me last, I would say, year or half a year, whatever, I oversee 18 states. So
we're, do you really?
Yeah. So all the way from here.
You answer the phone and text messages more than other people I know that operate, that handle multiple states.
I know if I don't do it then, because wife, kids, sure, family, you know, all that comes first. So I just try to take care of business as it comes. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. But I know sometimes if I don't do it then.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. It's like, got to do it or I forget about it.
I worked a night shift. Slept for 5 hours, woke up, and the entire hour that I was awake to spend time with the family, it was answering emails and messages. And
that's what it is. So, I mean, but other than that, now we're reorganizing, doing some stuff, and I'll have a lot more time to spend in Texas.
Sure.
And it'd be, I guess, right now kind of like
Texas. But you're based here, right?
Yeah, just Texas and Florida. But with that, it's going to give me more time to really –
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We killed it. I'm excited. I'm got this craving for Pete right now that I'm loving so much. So
go back to it.
We'll have another drink, but we got to let you guys go. Cheers.
Adios.